I'm going to speak today, being Father's Day, and it's a great pleasure and honour for me always to speak as the father of the house, and on Father's Day to do this. And I want to express my heartfelt considerations to people today that find this a challenging day, a difficult day, or an awkward day, by way of maybe you've lost your father or you don't have a father figure around your world personally. I just want to acknowledge you today, and I'm hoping today that these few moments that I share and speak will help you and minister to you also. Because although I'm speaking about fathers today and I'm speaking to fathers, I'm speaking in a non-gender sense. I'm speaking to men and women, young and old. I'm speaking to the church today. I'm speaking into the fabric of who we are. So Father's Day. It's a little different this year for me, Father's Day, in that this year my father passed away. It's 5 months ago today that Dad was laid to rest, and he lived his life, and he's now in heaven, for which we're incredibly thankful for, but very mindful of the fact that it's a difficult journey when you lose a loved one and you lose a father. And I think for me, the journey of the last 5 months has been incredibly challenging in terms of understanding my own emotion when it comes to grief. I've handled grief on behalf of many people through different stages of life over the last three decades of being a pastor, and I've stood at the grave of many. I've conducted many ceremonies. I've been there when people have passed literally from this life into the next, and I've held people as they've cried and expressed their grief and their sorrow and their loss. But for me, losing my father was the first really close encounter that I've had of losing a loved one, and losing a significant loved one that was very much loved and honoured. And so it's been a big journey over the last 5 months. The last 2 weeks, Cheryl and I have been on holidays, and we went to Woodgate, which is, it's just the most beautiful little getaway in the world. There's nothing there. But we went there for the express purpose of just spending some time with our family, being with my mum, and spending some time with her. But I went to visit my dad, which is a thing I thought I would never really ever do. I didn't see myself as somebody that would feel the need to go to a graveside to do that kind of thing. But I found over the last 5 months I've had a deep-seated need just to go to the grave and to stand there and to talk to Dad, even though I know Dad's in heaven. I know that's where his body was laid to rest. And so being on holidays, I visited Dad probably three or four times and just spent some moments with him as a prelude to Father's Day, because this is the first one that he's not here with us. And so today I've come back with a few special things. Mum gave me some of Dad's little things that are special to me. One thing she gave me was about 3,000 hankies that Dad had, because Dad's of a generation that never went anywhere without a hanky. And some in the room today think, a hanky? What's a hanky? How disgusting to have anything like a hanky. But this is one of the 3,000 hankies my mum gave me that I've got today with me on Father's Day. I've also got a little gold cross on my jacket today, which is one of Dad's favourites that he would wear. And so I've got that with me today. I'm also wearing one of his old watches today, and so he's with me in so many ways this morning, and I honour him and I love him and I miss him incredibly. I want to speak today about some lessons. It's called Father's Heart, about some lessons that I get from my own father, but also from my ultimate heavenly father, to help us all be better dads and to be better families, and to do this journey in a healthy way for the sake of those that we lead. 1 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I am writing not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. He says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. I love the thought here that Paul shares about being a father to the churches and a father to believers. And he says, you've got a lot of people that want to teach you. You've got a lot of people that want to inform you. You've got a lot of people that want to inspire you. But what the church really lacks is people that will father you or mother you. There's a real lack of that. There's a real lack of people that will be family together. And I want us all to understand very clearly today that God's ultimate aim for the church is for the church to be family. For the church to behave like family, engage like family, interact like family, commune like family, and to belong like family. And Paul says, I'm not your natural father, but I have become your father. Your father in the faith, so that I might be a mentor, so that I might be a model, so that I would be here for you. You know, I don't think we ever really attain everything that God has for us as God's children unless we understand the value of the father-son, the father-daughter relationship in terms of how we engage and interact with God our Father and the way He sees us and the way we see Him and respond to Him. But then secondly, how it works in the church and then also within the home. That God has designed us to have very particular and peculiar intimate relationship with God, that He's designed the church to be built on a father-son, father-daughter relationship. That's how He's designed the church to function. There's a verse in the Bible, it's actually the very last verse of the Old Testament. And then there's a 400-year gap before there's any more revelation that's written from God towards us, which is the New Testament. So the very last verse of the Old Testament, you'd have to think that the very last words of the Old Testament would be important words. Like, last words are important words. Last words you speak to somebody, you share with somebody, as you're leaving, as you're going, as you're saying goodbye. They're incredibly important. And these words are incredibly important in Matthew 4:6, where it talks about the coming of Elijah. And the prophet says that there's coming this prophet again called Elijah. There had already been one. There's coming another one called Elijah. And his preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and I will strike the land with a curse. And so Malachi speaks of Elijah. Bible commentators say that this is John the Baptist, who would come some 400 years later. And that John the Baptist's teaching and preaching would start the journey of bringing a focus of the father-son, the father-daughter relationship, where God would build His church upon. And really what the prophet is saying is this: if we don't get it right, the land's cursed. If we don't get it right, there's a curse on the land. And the land is cursed as a result of not having this relationship of the father-son, the father-daughter working appropriately. Do you know, I believe that God is desperately trying to reform His church into this relational dynamic of fathers, sons, mothers, daughters, to bring us closer, to help us to behave and function and engage as real family. And that's why it's so important that our hearts get healed so that we can be a part of this journey. There's so much brokenness in people that results in an isolation, a polarization, a separation, and a disengagement from family because they come from broken ones. And God wants restoration. God wants to restore it and restore our hearts so that we can know the love of the Father, so that we as fathers and mothers can give love, acceptance, and forgiveness to our children. And what we see is this, and we all see this, what we see is we see the devil attacking the fabric of family, the devil attacking the fabric of the church family and the sense of togetherness and community that we have, and he does it by bringing about conflict. Conflict's a great destroyer. It's a destroyer of relationship. It's a destroyer of family. It's a destroyer of churches. And it creates a sense of separation and isolation. And even in this kind of season that we're in right now with this pandemic, the isolation that people are forced into and the isolation that we experience and even the polarization from community and people, the devil uses these moments to in church families to cause that separation to be kind of like extended and for it to reverberate, meaning this, that people miss church. And here's the problem with missing church. When you miss church, the day will come when you don't miss it. Now think about that for a moment, because that statement's a little bit too good for someone at 10 5 or 10 on a Sunday morning. The problem with missing church is the day will come when you don't miss it. In other words, you move on with other things in life and you fill the gap with other things in life. And your Sunday morning and your Wednesday night and your engagements during the week and your follow-up with people, your connection with people becomes something that you just don't do anymore because you filled it with other things. We've got to make sure we've got this father-son, father-daughter, mother-son, mother-daughter relationship working right. So here's some thoughts I have for us today about this. And they are very big thoughts for every one of us. That God builds his kingdom relationally. God builds his kingdom relationally. In Matthew 3:17, it says this. It says, and a voice from heaven said, this is when Jesus was being baptized, a voice from heaven said this, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. I don't know whether you noticed the wording of this as much as I do. It says a voice from heaven. Is anyone weirded out by that? Like a voice from heaven spoke. I don't know whether you've ever heard a voice from heaven, but everybody heard it on this day. When the voice of God the Father, the ultimate Father, boomed from heaven because he was so proud. And you know, when you're proud, you're loud. When you're proud, you're loud. Just nudge your neighbor. Oh, maybe you can't. They're 1.5 meters apart. But when you're proud, you're loud. And it says a voice from heaven, it boomed out, this is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Three things that Jesus heard his father in heaven. And Jesus knew these things. He knew them. So Jesus really didn't need it to be said for him. It was really being said for the benefit of everyone else, knowing what the Father thought of him. It says, you are my son, I love you, and with you I'm well pleased. In other words, I couldn't be prouder. I couldn't be prouder of who you have become. Do you know those three things are the three things that every son and every daughter needs to hear? Those three things are the things that every son and every daughter need to hear, and they need to hear them forever. They need to hear them forever, not just for a few months, not just for a year when they're 16. They need to hear them forever, no matter what their age. These are the three things my dad said to me as he laid on his deathbed in the last week of his life. You're my son, I love you, and I'm proud of you. You're my son, I love you, and I'm proud of you. Do you know how much that means to a human heart to have another human being say, you are mine, I love you, and I'm proud of you. You're mine, I love you, and I'm proud of you. That'll hold you. That'll hold you to have somebody say that and believe that of you. Now, not only did the Father say that in Matthew 3, he says exactly the same thing in Matthew 17. Now, here's a little hint. When God says something twice, take note. It's like a father. When a father says it twice, he means it. He means it. If he's got to say it a second time, here he says it a second time. Same thing, different situation. In Matthew 17:5, says, while he was speaking, this is when Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember it? When Jesus glowed, like my jacket is right now. When Jesus glowed under the spectacular moment that was happening on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter couldn't. He couldn't help himself. His mouth was just going like a train, and he's spruking out, and the booming voice from heaven comes again and says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them all, and a voice from the cloud said, it's weird again, I know, but this is the way the Bible records it, a talking cloud. It says, this is my son whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased. So listen to him. Listen to him. You know, when God comes talking to you in a cloud, it's business. And here the business was, I love him. He's my son. Would you just listen to him? I am so pleased. I am so proud of my son. You know, these are the three things that every son and daughter needs to hear and every son and daughter needs to know. They need to know acceptance. They need to know affection, and they need to know affirmation. For every mum and dad, this is fathering and mothering 101. In the church, in the home, in the community, wherever we are, that we show people acceptance, affection, and affirmation. Acceptance, affection, and affirmation. This is leadership right here. Acceptance, affection, and affirmation. It's not about being charismatic. It's not about being powerful. It's not about being dynamic and having personality. It's about having the ability to show acceptance and affection and affirmation to people. Every son, every daughter, everyone needs these three things to become and grow into the human being that they were always intended to be. I read an article recently about employee loyalty. And it was a really interesting article about how to make sure that your employees remain loyal to you and develop a sense of longevity in terms of their commitment to what you're doing within the organization. And it stated that employees' decision to remain loyal to a company or organization is based 90% on emotion rather than logic. And the article was saying that it really, at the end of the day, doesn't matter how much you pay them, it's about how you make them feel. Doesn't matter how much you pay them, it's about how you make them feel. Now, I do understand that being paid well makes you feel good. So I understand and appreciate that fact. But at the end of the day, it's more about the feeling than the logic of the dollars that I get paid. And what they concluded was this. They concluded three things. They concluded that the human brain needs these three things for loyalty to be shown and developed and increased. The human brain needs to feel like it belongs. It needs to feel like it belongs. It needs to feel like it's loved, and it needs to feel that it is appreciated. And the point of the article is that for a boss needs to understand that everyone under your employeeship needs to feel that, a sense of belonging, a sense of being loved, and a sense of appreciation. So very quickly this morning, in terms of being a parent, being a father, and I've been one for quite some time now, I'm also a grandfather of about 3,000 kids, the human brain needs these three things: to know it belongs, to know it's loved, and to know it's appreciated. This is what we need to do in terms of our children. This is how to be a better father today. This is the heart of a father that God wants us to understand and walk out and live today. To see our children as they could be, not as they are. To see our children not as they are, but as they could be. In other words, to see, as we were talking about when we were dedicating children to the Lord today, to see the potential that God has placed in that human being. Not because they're perfect, because kids will never be perfect. Kids will break your heart as much as they will make your heart. And we as parents need to understand we are the adult. And the problem with that statement is this: adulting is really hard work. I found it so much easier being a child rather than being an adult. Adulting is very hard. It's hard being the mature one. It's hard being the parent sometimes. But with that position and authority comes the empowerment to be the parent, and you can do it. Would you turn to your neighbor across the room and just point at them and say, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it, no matter how tough or difficult it is. See the potential that is in your children. Fathers need hearts that see the potential of their sons and their daughters. Don't see them as they are, see them as they could be. Dream a little bit, get a little bit creative, get a little bit excited about the potential that God has placed upon them. I do that for people in church, to see the potential that is upon people. Not to see people for their past, not to see people for their mistakes, their circumstances, their confinement, their limitation, or their inability, but to see people for their potential. 1 John 3:2 says this: we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. It's talking about potential. What we will be is not yet seen clearly. But we are the children of God. But we know when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Do you know what makes hell tremble is not what you are, but what you could be. Not what you are, but what you could be. The thing that keeps hell on its toes is the potential of who you could be, of who you could become, and who you are becoming. What God has placed upon you and upon I and upon our children. What you are, or what you will be rather, is not yet made known. We don't see the full potential yet. Like sometimes I see stuff on Facebook, because that's like the new newspaper on everything, on Facebook that people have done, that I've known for a long, long time. I look at some of the students that I taught when I was a Bible college principal and where they are and what they're doing today. And I'm like kind of amazed, because I remember them as they were. and not as they would become. And when they become what they have become, I look at it and go, wow, how did you arrive there? They realize their potential. They realize their potential. Don't look at your children for who they are. Look at them for who they could possibly and potentially be. The truth is, how you see it is how you see it. How you see it is how you see it. In Hebrews 11:1, it addresses that thought. It says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Look at your children with a sense of faith, whether they're this big, or like mine, this big. It doesn't matter. Still see the potential. Don't ever write them off. Don't ever shut the door. Don't ever kick them out. They are family that God has given you. Don't see them as they are. See them as they could be. If God wrote you off for who you were, you would not be who you are today. Come on. It's true. Some of you are bad to the bone, or were. And look at you now. How good are you? How good are you? Because God believed in you. The Father kept calling something out of you, the potential that He placed in you. So have faith eyes for your kids. You know, the truth is, people tend to live up to the expectations that we kind of place upon them. They tend to live up to the expectations that we have for them when we are important people in their world. And can I give you a little secret? If you're a mum and dad in the place today, if you're a leader in the place today, you're an important person. You're an important person. When you hold that little baby and you come to stage today and you dedicated your children to the Lord, for those mums and dads that did that today, you need to understand the level of importance that you have to that little child. You are very, very important to them and their future. The next thing every father and mother needs to do is you have to say what you see. You have to say what you see. So firstly, we see them as they could be, not as they are. But secondly, we have to say what we see. Every father needs to learn the ability to have a heart that speaks what they see. And this is hard for fathers. This is something fathers learn to do as they really mature in life, is to speak what they see in their children in terms of a positive sense. And so we speak what they could be, not what they are. Anyone can speak what someone is. That's easy. It takes a whole lot more faith and emotional presence to be able to speak into what somebody could become. To call greatness when there's not a great deal of greatness apparent around someone's world. To believe in somebody when they've given up on themselves. And there will come moments when your child gives up on themselves. There will come moments when they give up on their career. That they'll give up on anything and everything and walk away from everything because of the struggles and the challenges and the difficulties of life. But you as a mother and you as a father, you've lived some life. You've walked some roads that have been challenging and awkward. And you know that you survive if you keep breathing, you keep going, you keep leading your life. And so speak into their life. Speak into their life. You know, it's one thing to see it. It's a whole new thing to say it. One thing to see it. It's a whole new thing to say it. Like, you might know it up here, but your child doesn't know you know it up there unless you say it out here. You might know. I think every mum and dad knows it up here, but to say it out here is so affirming. It's so affirming. Romans 4:17 says, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This is what God, the ultimate Father, does. He calls things out that don't exist as if they did. And so when he talks to us, he calls it out of us into existence, even though it doesn't exist. He calls it out into existence. So here's my simple thought. For every mum, every dad, every leader in the room today, call out greatness from this age, this age, this age, and this age. Every time I spoke to my dad on the phone, he would tell me how proud he was of me. He would tell me how proud he was of me. Every time I spoke to him, he was a man of few words, but the words he spoke were meaningful words. He didn't waste his words. Well, I'd ring my mum and dad every week. Every Sunday I would ring them. And mum would talk for... Hello, mum. Hello. Mum's online today watching, so I better be careful. I better tell the truth. Mum would talk for 45 minutes, hand the phone to dad. Dad would say, how are you, son? You good? Love you. Proud of you. That's about all I've got to say. Here's your mum. And back to mum. But that was enough. That was... that was just the way Dad was wired. Whereas Mum would tell me everything that's going on, everything that's happened yesterday, last week, last year. Even if she'd already told me, she'd tell me again. Because that's what mums do. That's the way mums are wired. Love your mum. And for dads, we've got to get good at the ability of speaking to the lives and over the lives of our sons and our daughters. And if we're leaders, to also develop the ability to that. Tell them how great they are. They might just rise to the level of our expectation. So you can't just think it, you've got to say it. You can't just think it, you've got to say it. You see, it works like this for me. If you think it's a great sermon, don't just think it's a great sermon. Tell me it's a great sermon. Yeah, some of you are still not convinced. If you think it's great, tell it. Like, if you're a boss, if you think your employees are doing a great job, just don't think it, tell them. It's like, show me the money. My employees did not hear that. I don't have employees, by the way. I have people that enjoy the journey of life with me, is what I have. So isn't that right, Dan? Daz and Maz and Les and everyone else in the house this morning. The last thing we need to do, everyone say finally. Finally, because we've got a Father's Day surprise for you in the foyer. We need to start a process to develop them. I think this is one of the most beautiful responsibilities God gives every father. It's my responsibility as a father in this church and for every parent in the room. Is to start a process to develop your children. In other words, it means give your children the advantage. Give your children the advantage. You know, fathers need hearts that start a process to develop their sons and daughters. Every father and mother wants their son and daughter to go further. My father and mother, you know, going back about, 1986. How many years ago was that? That's a long time. He's a mathematician, isn't it? Long time ago. 1986, when we sold our house, Cheryl and I sold our house to go to Bible college and train to be ministers. And, you know, my dad was so proud, and my mum was so proud. My dad became a believer when I was 16 years of age. And... gave his heart to Jesus Christ, and from that moment on he never smoked another cigarette. He never touched alcohol again, and he drank enough alcohol for everyone in the room. And he lived hard, he worked hard, and the moment he became a Christian, he walked away from all of that, and his heart became for the house of God. And not only for the house of God, his heart became for our family, for our family. And our family life turned around, and literally Malachi 4:6, that verse of the father's hearts being turned to the children and the children to the father, became so true for us. It became so prophetic for us, that transformation that took place in Dad's life. And so Dad, you know, became a worship leader in church. He became a board member. He became a treasurer. He did everything in church life, and Mum did. And they were an incredible example. And so when we felt the call of God in our lives and we went and trained to be in Bible college, I remember Dad sitting me down to have a very serious conversation just before we left, because we'd sold our home and we were going to use all of our funds to fund going to Bible college, because the government never paid you an allowance to go to college like they do today. Anyone remember those days? And your education, you had to finance yourself. And so we were going to 3 years of self-funded education. So our equity in the home was going to be used for that. And Dad sat me down and he said, said, Tony, I want you to know how proud I am of you and Cheryl, and I want you to know that we want to help you. And so when we pass away, the house that we have will become yours. And so you've given up your house, so we're going to decree in the will that you get the house. I've already spoken, he said, to your sister, and I've spoken to your brother, and they're totally in agreement. This is the level of esteem my dad had for what we would do. And he said, we want to give you our house. Because Dad thought going into ministry, you know, we'd be poor. We'd never have a decent car. We'd never have nice clothes. We'd never own a home again. That's what he said it to me. You'll never own a home again. And I'm sitting there like, seriously? We'll never own a home again? I don't know whether I want to go. I don't know whether I want to do this anymore. The way Dad was talking about it, because I didn't see it like that. But that's what Dad saw. So he said, I'll give you the home. Well, we went into Bible college. We trained for college. We left Bible college with a JB Chimera blowing smoke because it had done its gasket and rings, whatever, Daz, I don't know, blowing smoke out of that JB Chimera like every JB Chimera did. Towing a trailer with $1,000 worth of furniture, which was all we owned, and we had $1,000 in the bank. That's all we came out of. And we started this journey of being pastors. And God blessed us. We bought our first home, and Dad could see the blessing of God on our lives. We lived a lot of years. We're in secondhand clothes, secondhand furniture, bomby cars, cement on floors, couldn't afford cars. We did all of that. But then Dad saw us get blessed. Saw us buy a nice home. A nice car. Wear nice clothes. Have a nice holiday. So Dad sat down and had another conversation with me. And he said, remember that conversation we had about decreeing the house to you in the will? Because we thought that going into ministry that you would never buy a house again. Well, now that you've bought a house and you've got a nice car and you have nice holidays and it's going well for you, we think it fair that we share the house with your sister, with your brother. And so now the will's been changed. Can you believe it? Because of blessing. And of course, I'm all good with that. Because the one thing my heart needed, and the only thing my heart ever needed, was for my father to love me as his son. To tell me he's proud of me. To be pleased with me. And that means more than gold, silver, houses, anything. And I stood at his grave this week, and I said, thanks, Dad. For being my father and for seeing it and for saying it and for making a way for it to happen. And I have so much left in this sermon that I can't say because it's all irrelevant now. But for every dad in the room, can I say that you've been given by God gifts, and those gifts, they don't need your riches. They need your presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Not your P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. I get asked all the time when it comes to birthdays, Christmas, Father's Day, you know, times when you exchange gifts. What do you want? Well, I'm at a stage in life where I really don't want anything. Besides a Harley Davidson. Trip to Greece, an old Mustang. Help me, guys. What would you like? I'm at a stage in life where I really don't want things at all. It's just moments that I want. It's moments. Because I would give anything for another moment with my dad. Another conversation. You know, one of the things that I personally felt so challenged by in the last 5 months with my father was I was here when I should have been there. And I was here looking after everybody else. And I stood on my dad's grave and I said, "Dad, I'm sorry that I didn't make it as much as I should." And Mum said, "Tony, we understand. You had responsibilities, a call of God to look after a church and people. And Dad knew it. Dad loved you. He's proud of you and who you are." So to every dad in the room, I hope you're loved as much as I love my dad. Because you deserve to be. Why don't you stand to your feet? Why do they call it Happy Father's Day? I want to pray for you today. We've got some goodies. I don't know what they are. I think it's meat pies and a Holden car. Something like that out there for the guys. And enjoy. Whatever you're doing today, enjoy. Take some time just for you. If that means going for a walk or it means having a sleep and or if it means noise and activity, whatever it means for you today, just let it be meaningful. Father, I thank you for all the dads in the house today. Particularly, I'm praying for the dads right now. We love the dads of our house. We're proud of the dads of our house, of who they are and what they bring. We're proud of their ruggedness, their robustness, their resilience. We're proud of their provision, God. We're proud of their creativity, their resourcefulness. We're proud of their service and their dedication and their commitment to building the house of God by having strong family, Father. We're proud of their love for you. We're proud of the fact that they are men who are unashamed to stand up for who they believe in and have a sense of conviction about the way they live their life. And I pray may their lives be filled with joy is what I pray today as we celebrate dads today. Bless the house of God today is what we pray. Thank you for the church, Lord, the church online, the church in the room today. We love the church. Thank you for what the church brings into our lives, the enrichment that it brings for our lives today. Thank you for our ultimate Father, our Father in heaven. We love him so much because he always meets us right in the middle. We thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our team are going to close and lead with that beautiful song in the middle today. Why don't you lean in for a few moments, worship the Lord with all of your heart today. Thank you.